Good morning, lads. How are you, Jerry and Owen?
You start the day with a good energy.
Good morning, Jerry and Owen. How are we doing, lads?
Yeah, good.
Good morning, Jerry, Colm, Owen. I'm admiring your backdrop.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
I'm very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome to the final episode of the WS season from the Koi Gig Podcast. I am Kathleen McNamee and I am joined, as ever, by Captain Karen Duggan, and we have Jamie Finn back with us to go through all of our award categories for this end of the season podcast. And then we are very, very lucky to have Emma Carroll joining us from the start today too. Emma, welcome along.
Hello, how are we?
Doing good, doing good. Now, I know I did say this is the final WSL podcast, but do not panic because we will be back for the internationals over the summer. So you're not getting rid of us quite yet. But we thought with the season over, Champions League is done, we have Sweden coming up on Friday, and no one wants to think too much about it because it's a very important game. We'd have a little bit of fun with today's podcast and we would do just a few awards that we want to give out to players over the season. Emma has pulled together a team of the season and we will also be crowning our Irish WSL player of the year because we got to put those green glasses on sometimes. Before we do that though, we are going to talk a little bit about the Sweden game because this is our last chance to do so before the game kicks off on Friday. Karen, where are the nerves at? I was out in Castleknock today with the players and everyone seemed really chilled, really relaxed, great form. I was reassured.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to be. Kind of said it at the start when the group was made. It's a shot at nothing really, these games for us. Getting promoted to League A was the ultimate goal. It guarantees us a playoff. So all of these games now are getting us above the level we were playing at League B, and Sweden are certainly that level above. They are improved since we played them in the Euros, but we also maybe can put a little bit of doubt in their minds and swing a result in these games. I'm sure that the girls will be aiming for it, but I think just getting a good performance, and obviously we had Anna Patton coming into the squad the last time and really just nailing down those kind of partnerships, I think that's the most important thing that can come from these camp, and having two games in short succession is a good chance to do that.
Yeah, Jamie, it's kind of unusual that getting to face a team in short succession, you know, normally you're paying one international and then it's up against another national team. Is it kind of nice for the squad to get this opportunity? Because I think there was a feeling after the England game and the France game that if we had faced them kind of soon afterwards, we'd gotten a bit of their number, we knew what we wanted to do, instead of having to wait for another couple of months to go up against them again.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, as you said, playing them like in quick succession. I think it's a challenge for us, for the girls, like heading into camp today. I think they'll be excited for these games. Like, I think, like as Karen said there, it's all about performance. Like, we need to be performing and kind of just implementing our game plans for these games. Because obviously this group is tough. Like, every single nation in this group is, yeah, up there. But as a player, as a team, that's where you want to be. Like, personally, you'd want to test yourself against the best. It's like to see where you are personally, to see where we are as a team. And we need to progress now. We need to keep pushing on and try to get results as well. It's important.
What was your sort of like mental prep going into big game weeks that had important qualification games on the line?
Yeah, I don't think much changed for me. Like, if anyone knows me, I'm very like rigid in anything I do. I don't try change a lot because if you do, I think, yeah, you might be in a bit of trouble. So yeah, I don't think it doesn't really matter who you're playing. Obviously, it's top tier nations, but I think consistency is key. And you need to obviously concentrate on your own performance and how we can implement the game plan coming up to the Sweden game now. So it'll be exciting.
It's very exciting. Very much looking forward to the Aviva on Friday night. I will be there providing coverage with Scarlett Heron, who's joining us as a new pundit in Off the Ball, a League of Ireland player. Unfortunately for you, Karen, a Shamrock Rovers player, so we won't talk about it too much. But yeah, we'll be there providing coverage across Off the Ball on the evening. Emma, It's not, it's something we've talked about before this, but it's nice seeing the squad go into these games with confidence, feeling relaxed, feeling happy. Me and you were talking about Leanne Kiernan specifically, who we're going to hear a little bit from a little bit later in the podcast. But her and Jess Sue particularly stuck out for me because obviously two people who've suffered really bad injuries. Chad to Aoife Mannion too. She's had a really difficult time with injuries, but they all seem really settled, really content. You know, Leanne was talking about how she almost wasn't disappointed at missing out in the World Cup. Like, obviously, overall, yes. But she was like, I feel like maybe I just wasn't ready and I needed that time to see it. And now I feel ready. That's exactly what we want our players to be saying going into these games.
Yeah. I thought Leanne was great when I heard her today. I thought she was so positive and so honest and really happy, it seems like, playing under Eileen. Like, she seemed really buzzing. And obviously finishing the season off on a hat-trick as well. She's probably high on confidence as well going into camp. So that's exactly what you want from her, especially in a goal scorer.
Yeah, well, and especially for Liverpool as well. And I'm sure you'll be very happy to see that continue, hopefully, throughout the summer. Karen, what can we do in these games? What is there anything we can change up? Is there lessons we can take? I think the main thing a lot of people have said is the fact that we concede early goals and then we absolutely fight for 45, 50 minutes and it's sensational to watch. But you're also like, where's the goal going to come from?
Yeah, look, that's always going to be a challenge against the opposition that we're playing against, I think. Like, you can't underestimate the quality of England. Like, I was absolutely, like, blown away by the contrast and level. So we have to be a bit realistic as well. And we have a lot of, we've big names that are going to be missing out from the team sheet when we go to play Sweden next Friday. So what, for me, what it is getting players up to the pace. Your Jess Sue, your Leanne Kiernans, who haven't got a huge amount of international minutes under their belt, but are probably going to be mainstays in the team come that important crunch time. So I think that's going to be a really big benefit no matter what the scoreline is. And when you have new players in, it forces you to get more comfortable in those combinations that we've spoken about. So say if it's Izzy Atkinson on the left, how she'll link in with Katie, Jess, maybe, who's going to be, she could be right wing back, you know, and it might force her to get a harsh lesson in her defensive responsibilities, but it's something that she can learn from and bring forward. I also think Jessie Stapleton could be a key player for us, particularly in that centre midfield role if she's given some minutes. So I think that's, again, I think we have to be realistic. We aren't going out saying we're going to beat Sweden. I think when the draw was made, we were saying we could nick a point. That's still an optimistic viewpoint. And obviously we have to have that, and we have that as fans, and the crowd in the Aviva, I'm sure, will get behind the girls. But it's important just to remember the level that we're at, that this is still a building process. And I don't really know how to explain it. Like, it's going to take time. It's going to take time to, like we said, unlearn some of the things that they learned under Vera, to learn Eileen's ways of working, but also having to kind of almost in a way revert back to the Vera era, where we're very solid defensively. And that's the spring point. And like you said, the early goals are going to be a huge thing. So that middle three, obviously Anna Patton will have more game time. I think we'll see Katie left wing back, and then whoever fills in for Heather in the right wing back, and just giving them loads of confidence as the week goes on. And whoever is in the six, being very, very, very disciplined. Obviously, we've seen that Denise hasn't been playing for her club. She's been brought into the squad. I'd be very surprised to see her on a team sheet, given that she hasn't featured for Courage in a while. So that's a huge loss. But for me, that means you go nearly as two sitting sixes then. So there's a lot that they're going to have to contend with in this game. But like you say, they have to go in with the calm attitude that this is a good opportunity, like Jamie said. That's all it is. It's an opportunity. It's not a pressure pot situation, really.
We will take that if they do go into the game like that on Friday. And again, I was really surprised, not in a bad way, but just how relaxed and happy everyone seemed. And it was reassuring as a fan and a supporter of the team to see that, especially from players that maybe haven't had a whole lot of game time because of other things in recent times. Jamie, in terms of Sweden themselves, we've talked about them, the high quality that we have, you know, some of their players playing Champions League final at the weekend. What can we expect from their style of play? Like, what will Ireland be coming up against?
Yeah, they're going to be tough attacking wise down the flanks as well. Like, the fast players, strong players. Like, as I said, a couple of them playing in the Champions League final. Like you have to respect that. The opposition, they're going to be intense. They're going to be top quality. But like we said previous, I think this is just an opportunity to perform. A good solid week training of our game plan. What we need to kind of concentrate on us and how we're going to develop over these couple of months. Because it's a transition phase between managers, going from one manager to the other, how that kind of changes, how that looks like, coaching staff coming in. Players need to adapt to that. And yeah, what better way to do it than against Sweden? Like, you need to go into this. Like, you need to concentrate on ourselves while obviously respecting the opposition and doing our research on them and yeah, hopefully keeping them quiet. But as you said, we are going to be under pressure. There's no denying that. They're a top nation. We are going to be under pressure. But how can we deal with that and how can we put our pressure on them? And yeah, as you said, come away with a positive result. But for me, you probably look at a positive performance as well. We need to kind of keep them under our belts too.
Well, we will be praying to the Koige gods all week that that happens on Friday night and Tuesday as well. I mean, Sweden has been a fruitful place for us to travel in the past. You never know. Emma, quick word to that Champions League final. Barcelona finally getting their quadruple. The Patel's goal, absolutely sensational. The crowds beforehand and during the game looked crazy as well. I think I saw somewhere that like 40,000 Barcelona fans traveled or something mad. So obviously Bilbao, it's not too bad for them compared to other parts of Europe, but a brilliant final once again.
Yeah, Barcelona are just class. Like, there's, you, when they're up against Lyon, you think, okay, these are the two best teams. But even Lyon defended well, but Barcelona, they're just, their class just shone through in the end. And that winning goal, yeah, Patez is like, I was sitting there watching it with my dad and he was just like, oh my God, like, what a goal. Brilliant. Because obviously coming off the bench, you could see her that she was disappointed. And to be coming on in like the 90th minute, it's almost like, really, it's one of those, are you just putting her on because she's Alexia Patez and it's a Champions League final and you don't want to have not played her at all or give her any minutes? But she came on, scored the goal, and the celebration and everything that went with it, it was just like, yeah, that's her moment.
It very much reminded me of like Chloe Kelly, her goal, that whole celebration, the way the place erupted for the England. I had quite a funny experience with this because I was out watching the Leinster game. So I was just watching the Champions League game on my phone and I was at the bar and this guy came up behind me and he was like, oh, what are you watching? And I was like, oh, Champions League final. And he's like, oh, I like the ladies sometimes. I like watching the football. But he's like, but skill levels, like, do you just not think? And I was just like, I'm not dealing with this conversation. I'm too much enjoying myself. Then Patel's goal went in and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go say something. So I went back down to him and I showed him the goal. And I was like, just tell me again there what you think about women's football. And I want to say he was stunned silence and that's why he didn't react to me. But he may have just been like, he was this crazy lady coming over and like shoving women's football in my face. But yeah,
it was a great goal, but it was a really important time as well, because it was actually the time where Lyon were putting the pressure on. Like, they probably left it a bit late, putting Hegerberg and stuff on, but it was either going to be an equaliser at that stage for Lyon or a piece of Barcelona brilliance to wrap it up. Barcelona brilliance is what it was.
Yeah, it was brilliant and it was very fun to watch despite the little introduction by that man. Okay, we shall move on to our team of the season. And Emma, a little bit disappointed in you. There's not a lot of Irish representation in this. I mean, where are the green glasses?
Number one, Courtney Brosnan. So I'll start with there. Yeah, so Courtney Brosnan makes it into the goals. I've went with four at the back, surprisingly enough. Jess Carter, Wubamai, Greenwood and Niamh Charles. Cuthbert, Hasegawa and Clinton in the middle. And then James, Shaw and Hemp as the three up top. It was hard to leave.
Was kind of hard.
It was all hard. Like, it was hard to leave Katie out and Kim Little. Like, really struggled leaving them players out. Aggie Beaver Jones as well for the second half of the season was brilliant. Herland for Brighton, you know, like, what did she score? 13 goals this season. But
yeah,
hard to leave James, Sean, Hemp out, really.
No, you're not leaving the three of them out. No. We would have come to blows now if the three of them were left out. I suppose if you're looking from an attacking sense, Turland is the one who kind of misses out there, just because to make that impact in the team that she was in, very, very, very difficult. But like, they could have been in bother without her, you know. But yeah, she was really standout player. So glad she's getting an honourable mention. I love Hasegawa, so I have no problems there. Clinton, yeah. Hobinger could have nudged. I thought we would get maybe Hines even. Your Liverpool glasses were off as well.
Yeah, I know. Be in there as well.
Yeah. We will allow Jess Carter to be right back, but maybe would have stuck her centre back then instead of Ruben Moy, but then it's hard to argue with Ruben Moy given kind of the improvement we saw from her, having come from like some difficult mistakes last season to the performances she put in this season. She was definitely worth putting in the mix anyway. So great job. I mean, I think feel like last season it was very much like, okay, Chelsea were the dominant force. There's a good spread of things there. Didn't quite spread to United, which is fair. I don't have any arguments with that. So yeah, great.
Listen, there was no Liverpool players getting in. There was no United players getting in. So
I'm really surprised by that. I really thought you would have snuck a little three at the back and maybe stuck in Hoinger, but
no. My real point of contention probably was the Ruben Moy. It was either going to be Katie at right back because she played there for a bit this season, and Carter in centre back, or Carter at right back and Ruben Moy in centre.
Alexandria was very good for City as well, and probably didn't, you know, get a lot of adulation because we usually look at Greenwood. She was kind of our mainstay in the teams of the week in that defensive role that she gave. But she was kind of versatile for them. She was also a good player for City. Probably would have gotten a few more if they'd snuck over the line in the end, but it wasn't to be, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Jamie, what about you? What did you think of the team?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of it. I'm looking at that top three and I have a headache because we'll keep that quiet. I'd actually love to see how that would go. Was really impressed with Niamh Charles as well. Mm. She's relatively young as well, and she was captain for a lot of the games this year as well, which is to be captain of a team like Chelsea obviously is some achievement. So I was very impressed with her. And obviously Courtney and goal.
Just on the goal, like I was looking at a lot of kind of the articles and stuff that came out after the season finished, and a lot of people put Ciara Keating in goal just because obviously she stepped up to the plate. But for me, I think you're right, it's very much Courtney. And then after that, I think Hannah Hampton was the difference, really. When you see the amount of mistakes that were cut out of Chelsea's game, and then you contrast that with Arsenal and that constant kind of eyebrow raising about their goalkeeping situation. I thought that Hampton, for me, is the second best keeper in the league this year.
Yeah, I think it's easy to go Keating because she got like 9 clean sheets and it's the most clean sheets. But I think when you're playing sometimes in a team like City where there's not as many shots coming at you as well, like if you look at the most saves made, Courtney made the most saves. So it's like at Everton, you're under a lot more pressure. So the pressure was really on her this season. And I think she went a long way to helping them have a bit more of a comfortable season in the end as well, because it could have been a struggle for them, whatever.
Definitely, yeah.
Possibly unfair of me as well, because she is so young and like she did a brilliant job coming into that team the way she did. But when I think of Keating, I do think of those couple of howlers that she had during the season, which is just all like, it's being a young player. It's not having the game time experience, you know, I would not say at all it means that she's going to be a bad keeper. She's just very early at her career compared to maybe someone like Courtney, who, as you were saying, Emma, has the most saves, has to do a lot more work potentially because of the defenders that are in front of her compared to like the City back line. So yeah, even taking off the green glasses, that is, I support your decisions.
She did appear in the team of the week 6 times, so that is the most of any goalkeeper. And she's still like fourth in the clean sheets, like, and that's behind Keaton, Earps and Hampton. So, you know.
Not bad company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arsenal.
Did you work out well who managed to appear the most in the team of the week?
I didn't count them all up, but like goalkeeper-wise, it was Courtney. It was 6 times compared to Keaton. Actually, it was in a 4. And then...
Gotta be Bunny Shaw, surely.
Bunny Shaw, Greenwood, Charles made a lot of appearances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if we'd had Charles a few more Bunny Shaws at the end of the year, I'm telling you, if we had
made
a few
difference.
More Bunny Shaws, things would have been different.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see her moving out of a City jersey anytime soon, but if she wants to come to Arsenal, you know, I wouldn't say no.
No, I mean, you're talking about the top three there, but the top three for potentially for City next year, it's not Lauren James, but could be Miedema. That's
also terrifying.
Looking forward to.
Our top four.
I was happy today, Carl. Leah Williamson signed a new contract. I had forgotten about Miedema recently, and you had to bring it up and upset me again.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with Grace Clinton next season, because like she's definitely probably at the start of the season not a name that like a lot of the names on the team of the season maybe we could have picked out to have good seasons at the start, but Grace Clinton is probably, you know, one of the biggest bolters, I suppose. Had an amazing debut season, really.
Yeah, it'd be good to see a little bit more from her, definitely, because it does feel like the start of her story. Now, whether that's at Spurs or somewhere else, that will also be interesting. I did see reports that United wanted to bring her back, so it'll be interesting.
They should. They really should. Given that the way they've signed hasn't been fantastic, if you have someone in your ranks of that quality, just do the work to make her fit in and give her what she needs to thrive in that environment, I think. Business-wise and football-wise, I think United need her.
Definitely. But I just wonder what she will see as best for herself.
Considering she probably wants to leave, I don't want her to leave.
But kind of like, I'm writing personal letters to her every day.
Fan mail.
Asking her to please come back. Emma, thank you very, very much for doing the Team of the Week over the season. As we all know, any of us who have ever stepped in to do it, it's a lot of work and it takes a lot of time, especially with the kickoff times generally all being very similar. So much appreciated, as always, and for pulling together your Team of the Season. And now, a little drum roll, we will move on to our awards category of the evening. So we'll start in the same order that Emma sent them into the channel, because that is the easiest way for me to do this. best signing of the season. For our shortlist, we have Russo, Emily Fox, Ramirez, Nuskin, who I was kind of surprised didn't get a shout out there.
Actually, sorry, I just forgot. Let's talk about her now. Lock on.
And Hannah Hampton. So... And also, feel free to throw other names in there if there are other people as well. We are very much doing these awards on the fly, and we will decide in the moment, once we've argued against each other, who deserves to go where. Nuskin, let's start with her, since we didn't actually get a chance to talk about her in the team of the season. I mean, some breakout season for her with Chelsea.
Yeah, and just what a squad player, given that she's so, so versatile. Again, not someone I was overly familiar with, but obviously Emma Hayes doesn't just sign a player, she signs someone for the group. And I think that was very evident with her signings to Nuskin, Ramirez, particularly with the Sam Kerr injury. For me, it would be, yeah, it was Chelsea's transfer window anyway, just looking at this, can we just say, because obviously they had Hampton as well.
Kenrod as well, didn't really mention Max.
I'm going to... Ramirez will be the signing of, you know, she will be huge for Chelsea, but off this year, I would go with Hampton would be my selection.
Ooh, big shout. Jamie, you're nodding there. What do you think?
So that was similar to me. It was between Ramirez or Hampton, but I went with Ramirez just because of the final day of the season as well, because of Washington. And that basically, they won the title. And she was, yeah, forefront of that. And like obviously Karen said, I think she will continue to be
yeah,
brilliant signing for Chelsea. Obviously, she only came in, what, in January? So she'll show what she's kind of made of in yeah this next season. And, well, hopefully. I mean, yeah, I would go with her. But obviously, Hannah Hampton, huge signing, huge for Chelsea. Like, I haven't played against her. Like, she's just such a great keeper. Like, even
footwork, on the field, it's just how comfortable she is at her feet compared to a lot of other the keepers you see in the league. I think she's head and shoulders, and just in terms of how she plays ball,
it's like left and right foot. It's anything. She can ping it in the air, on the floor, which for like a fullback or a centre back, if you're getting that ball at pace and you're facing forward, like, it makes such a difference. So yeah, it was tight, but I went with Ramirez.
The Hampton thing is really interesting when you think of, you know,
the amount of keepers they already had at
Villa, the stuff coming out of England.
Definitely felt like a sign of the future.
She doesn't have great depth perception because of an issue with her eyes. It's just like the fact that she's achieving what she is, and she's still only 23, which for a goalkeeper in particular is quite young. Definitely going to be one of the top goalkeepers, you would feel, in the league if she decides to stay in the WSL. I also went with Ramirez. I just think that as good as Hampton is, there's something about Ramirez that just absolutely terrifies me every time I watch her. And I don't even think we've seen like properly what she's going to achieve in this league, and her skill levels as well. Like, some of the goals that she has scored this season are just, you kind of blink and you miss it. It's so technical and the skill is there. So that's who I went for. Emma, what about you?
Yeah, I'm probably gonna go with Hannah Hampton as well. Ramirez.
Oh no, you split us down the middle.
I know. I realized that when you said Ramirez, I was like, oh, that's two each. Yeah, like when you think about Ramirez, she's like, if Sam Kerr comes back fit and flying, like the two of them is just going to be terrifying for defenses. And
Arsenal are so screwed next season.
Unbelievable. But when you think of Hannah Hampton, then she comes in, she's probably thinking that she's a signing for the future and wasn't probably going to be getting much game time. Then Berger gets ill again, and then Hampton comes in, but she has to deal with no Millie Bright in front of her as well, which is probably a big thing where you're missing.
Yeah, and when you think
about the influential defenders.
Yeah, and the tournament that Musovic has had previous for Sweden, like, I mean, there's serious competition for that goalkeeping spot. And to get that backing, I think it's a big statement.
Yeah. Do we flip a coin or?
Let's call it a draw.
I don't know. I feel like we need to like get producer Catherine to just like pick a name out of a hat and tell us which one that she gets so she can deal with that in the background, and we'll keep going with
Russo
her.
And then
yeah, exactly. I know she's saying she doesn't want any involvement in this, lest she face the wrath of Chelsea fans online. Okay, we will just call that a draw, and we will say our defensive player of the year is Hannah Hampton, and our forward player of the year is Ramirez. As I said, we're very easy in this. Okay, coming up next, we have surprise package. So we have Liverpool finishing fourth, Emma Hayes announcing her Chelsea exit. For me, I think Liverpool finishing fourth was more surprising. Not in a way, like, I think looking at the team now, you can totally see how Beardy brought them together and why they got to the place that they are. But I think going into this season, it has felt like Emma Hayes was tiring a little bit. She'd been at Chelsea for 12 years. You kind of had a sense that maybe something was coming to the end for her. So while it still was a shock in the moment, it made sense once I'd seen it. So yeah, my vote is going to Liverpool.
Also me.
Yeah.
It's unanimous.
Like you say, it's nothing to do with them like punching above their weight. I think it's just the jump from championship to then it's all about survival. And they did that, and they were involved in a bit of a scrap for a good while last season. And then to go from that and kick on in the way they did, it says a lot about the squad as a whole, that they're very, very together, that they were all, and good signings were made, and they obviously have a very, very, very good manager. So I think they deserve the award, this prestigious award.
Yeah, I'm sure Matt Beard is sitting away his player of or manager of the season award and everything else that they have achieved, and is just waiting with bated breath to hear what we have to say about him. Jamie, for you, like Liverpool finishing fourth, what was the main reasoning behind it getting your vote?
Yeah, I think like what Karen was saying there as well, like they were in a bit of a like lower of the table situation, and to go from the championship to the WSL is not easy, and then to stay in the WSL is even harder. And then to go from that to fourth, it was such a big jump. And maybe coming into the start of the season, would you have said that? Probably not. So to achieve that, I think, yeah, that kind of got my vote. And then with Emma Hayes, like as you said, I think it was kind of coming towards that, whether it was next season or the season after. I think she was there for such a long time, and obviously she wanted to move on, and yeah, that was kind of like, as you said, a shock in the moment, but then not really surprising in the grand scheme of things. So yeah, Liverpool got my vote.
My other, yeah, well, what I would have put in my surprise package is how much Man United relied on Rachel Williams as opposed to the signings that they made. You know,
that's fair, that's a good one.
You had Jay-Z and all the rest, and still, it was, well, that age, I don't know what age she is. She's mid-30s, but lucky she was the reason they got fifth place, really, and an FA Cup final as well. So I would, honourable mention.
Very well-deserved honourable mention. Yeah. She's made it into a lot of the end-of-year WSL awards lists that I've seen just doing research for this. So not the only one who thinks that.
Yeah.
Up next, we have our underachievers of the season. So we have Arsenal, United, and Villa. I have absolutely no qualms with Arsenal being in there. I think it was a pretty dire season all in all. Villa, I remember at the start of the season, I, alongside many others, looked at Villa and was like, they're going to be the surprise ones this year. They're the ones you're going to need to watch out for. And then it turned out it was Liverpool.
I think out of shame for ourselves and how much we built up Villa, that Villa are my selection here, because we really went hard in our support for them. We were like, they're going to challenge the top four. Yada, yada. Here we are.
Yeah. It really, it's how I think... It's more that we hyped them up so much that's the reason they underachieved. Whereas, you know, maybe they just are like a mid-table team, and that's fine. I just hope Liverpool don't go the same way next season.
Well, you could also make an argument that, like, yeah, Arsenal and United definitely underachieved, but like at least both came out with a trophy. The other side. So
yeah, that's a bit of a saving grace, I think.
I think you were going to say that's a bit of a stretch, and I was like, I know, Karen.
I think United's current squad, I think fifth place is kind of where they're at. I think obviously Arsenal underachieved again the previous year. I think that the squad that Arsenal had, I think that their underachievement is a little bit more than United's, just based on how good they should be. They should have been still in the mix closer to the end of the season, I think, with the other two. Mm. But Villa.
Yeah,
have left us red faced. So, thanks for that.
Yeah, it was probably between Villa and Arsenal, but I think Villa edged it. Like as you said, Arsenal, the players they have, they definitely underachieved this year. But I think looking at United as well, I think it's easy to say that they underachieved because of the season they had last year. So it's easy to say that they've done that. But yeah, for me, it's Villa. With the players they have, they probably should be doing a lot better than that.
Yeah, I think one of the things that lead to Arsenal as well is the fact that they didn't make the group stage of the Champions League when they put so much into reaching the Champions League. And
oh, the season was a failure from
made of it last season. And then, yeah, that's how it kind of felt.
Unless they won the league, the whole season was going to be a failure after that.
I mean, there was no Paris FC, when they saw that draw, they were like, yeah, grand, let's go. And then... Seems like a lifetime ago now. So much has happened since then, but that really was the start of their season, wasn't it?
No, it was like obviously the week after the World Cup or something. So maybe there's something got to do with the fixtures there being a bit close together, but they'll still be disappointed.
Fixtures were close together, but I will also still say it was a complete and utter failure from Arsenal. Because I'm feeling in that sort of mood at the moment. Okay, moving on to our most bizarre moment. So we had that City-Chelsea game early in the season with all the red cards. Greenwood getting called out for time-wasting in an incident that was 100% not time-wasting. Emma Hayes' little foray into poetry. And then, of course, the Arsenal kit man having to go into the Chelsea shop to buy socks for the teams because there was a colour clash with both teams wearing white socks. Do love a bit of a bizarre moment. I mean, I feel like we've probably talked about these moments more so than the football over the course of the year, but it's the fun side of football, Jamie.
Yeah, definitely. Now for me, it was the socks. Like, I was watching the game and I was like, what is going on? Like, how have we not got, like, how have we got that wrong? But I suppose human error, people get things wrong. But I suppose if you're Chelsea in that game, you're like, happy days. Like, obviously, it could have been in Arsenal's head then. You don't know. Like, but as Chelsea, you're like, grand. But then as a player, you're kind of like, oh God, how long is this going to go on for? Like, what's the solution? Like, do I need to eat more? Like, there's a lot of stuff as a player, like, you'll then go into and sort of think of, you know what I mean? But yeah, that was definitely, yeah, the most.
That was the biggest, like, head slap moment for me. I was like, that's embarrassing. It shouldn't be happening. Yeah. This is a bizarre award. You know how I feel about the poetry. I hated the poetry. I wanted to kick the TV. I just was like, no.
I'm very clear
on my winner of this award.
I saw all the kind of like emotional, like, welcome to the US posts about Emma Hayes and her saying different bits to camera. And there was one of them that was like vaguely poetic, like, and I was like, I wonder, did she write that herself on the plane on the way over to the States? Emma, what gets your vote?
Bizarre wise, Emma Hayes's poetry is the most bizarre thing of the season. Like, the socks thing was just, as Karen said, like, it was like, what is going on? How did that happen? I was actually quite grateful because I was late home that night and I thought I was going to miss like the first half an hour of the match. So it was grand. Like, I see it with me, grand. but bizarre wise.
Priorities, Emma, priorities.
Yeah. Yeah. But bizarre wise, it's got to be the poetry. Yeah.
See, I was going for the socks on the first list, but you guys have kind of reminded me now how bizarre the poetry was and how weird that general situation was. So I think I'm going to go for that one too, and we will count that.
Maybe it was genius though, because it was distracting from the fact that she should have received some sort of punishment probably for her sideline behavior. Well, so again,
that could be a bizarre moment. That could be a bizarre moment in itself, you know?
Yeah.
The whole Emma Hayes versus Jonas.
That's true, the push and stuff. Jonas's smug face afterwards. I really need to stop hating my manager. Like,
yeah, you're
hating my manager like he's actually your manager.
Yeah.
I was actually on the phone to him there just before I started this podcast. He was just giving me a bit of, you know, pre-match prep to get myself match ready for this.
Don't mention the socks.
Let's do manager of the season first before we do player of the season. So you can have your obvious ones. You have your Emma Hayes, Gareth Taylor. But I think we're probably all going to be in agreement that Matt Beard may be the most deserving man for what he did with Liverpool. Jamie, I know you've spoken about him before, but just so impressive. And I think what's most impressive is the sense that it's building something bigger. This isn't just like a once off, get the team to a certain place. It's, you know, behind the scenes, building the structures, kind of in a similar way to what Emma Hayes did with Chelsea.
Yeah, I would agree. Matt Beard for me. I'm hyping up Liverpool on Matt Beard here, but it's deserved, like, to get to finish in that place. And as you said, like, when you're looking at Liverpool, like, even obviously the men's side is such a historic club. You want that for the women's side. Like, it's such a huge club and you want that for them. And to to get fourth place this season, I think that's a real kind of standard now. And yeah, hopefully they can push on and Matt Beard can help that. But yeah, definitely he would get my vote for that award.
Mm. Well, we have talked quite a lot about Matt Beard and how we think about him on the podcast before. So rather than taking our word for it as to why he deserves to be manager of the year, I was chatting to Leanne Kiernan and I asked her to explain to us why he's such a good manager, what he has given her. So you'll be able to hear that now.
I guess take away the whole football aspect. He's a very good dad. He's a very father figure. I came over at a young age and he was great for me. And he's just a good person, genuine, you know where you stand, which I feel like is very important in football. He's, as I said, he's very family orientated, similar to a lot of the girls in the team. He has his kids around at all the games, his wife, it's a really nice atmosphere around the club, and I feel like if you're young, if you're old, everybody feels a part of it. And he's very good at creating a culture. And of course, his football ability is pretty good, as you can see. We've done well this season. He has good coaching staff in there. Every one of his staff get on and all the players get on. I haven't been involved in a team where everybody... You could sit with anybody for coffee, staff or players, and you think, this is all right. Yeah, so I guess creating the culture is very big. And then he has the football brain in that. So it's just when we actually listen and do what we're supposed to be doing, it works, yeah.
Now we shall move on to our player of the season. And as judged by our team of the season, there are lots of options. Emma, when you were putting in your options, were you feeling a little bit guilty about leaving some people out that they made it onto this shortlist, but not the team of the season?
Yeah, it's just so that we can talk about them a bit more. But I think the players that are the player of the season are in the team of the season, but those one or two others just so that we can give honourable mentions to them.
That's fair. So you have Bunny Shaw, Lauren James, Elizabeth Turland and Aggie Beaver-Jones. I assume Turland and Beaver-Jones are the ones that you wanted to give a little nod to.
Yeah, I think we did touch on it during the team of the season, Karen did, and how important Turland was to Brighton. But, 13 goals coming from a team like Brighton, which I think is probably the third top goal scorer in the league, but just behind Bunny Shaw and Lauren James. So, great season for her. And she just deserves a little bit of plaudits, I think.
Mm. Karen, what way are you falling down on this?
Same Bunny.
I was going to say, I feel you're going to be a Bunny Shaw gal.
I would have maybe shortlisted Cuthbert as well, just because of her importance of the leadership role she played, obviously given Millie Bright was out for so long. So I would have put her on the list, but yeah, I was Team Bunny the whole way through. She was just so consistent. She was just terrorising people. And obviously we saw the impact when she did get that foot injury. Obviously the all-important game was that Arsenal game where they slipped up. And when City were on top, they weren't converting the same amount of chances, even when they were kind of sniffing for goal difference in the last game of the season. They created about 25 chances, and God knows how many she would have put away. She's just that good. So obviously Lauren James was thereabouts. But yeah, I'm a big admirer of Bunny Shaw. So she's my top player for the season.
Jamie, what way did you fall down?
Yeah, same. Bunny Shaw, I think for me, it was between her or Lauren James. I think Lauren James had a great season as well, but I think Bunny just was exceptional. Her goal scoring ability and just her overall play. She definitely got my vote for player of the season.
Yeah, I went with her too. It's undeniable that Lauren James is going to be an absolutely generational talent. I think for me, the only small downside is that she is a young player and I feel like she's still working out how she's going to be on the pitch. And even though she has incredible skill, I just think there's a few different things that she could use to just mentality and stuff at different times that she could do that's going to put her to where she is now, which is a really high level.
It's maturing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That maturing a little bit more to where it's mind-blowing and we will all be watching her win Ballon d'Ors or something for the next.
But we know the relationship that Lauren James and Emma Hayes had, it was really close, and it'd be interesting to see if the new manager can take her to a next step as well, or whether, you know, she is someone whose temperament needs to be managed, and whether the new manager will be able to do that. I think it's going to be interesting to see her development over the next couple of years, because you'd imagine she'll go and win everything, you know, because she has the innate natural talent to do so. So hopefully she can harness that in the right way and kick on.
Emma, what about you?
Yeah, it's funny. Like, it's, I think she was the difference maker. I think if she had been fit till the end of the season, Man City probably would have scored those goals. And yeah, the difference maker, I think. Like, Lauren James is very, very fun to watch. But
yeah,
Bunny Shaw is just a goal scoring machine. So
that's the thing. I don't know, like, what I'd be more excited to actually watch Lauren James play live. I still think Bonnie Shaw would be incredible, but Lauren James just has this tendency to do something kind of out of this world randomly, whereas I feel like Bonnie Shaw is way more, like, clinical isn't the right word, but there's a style and a form to it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like in the Aviva, watching Lauren James, it was like, just a class. And you just knew that she was going to score when she got the ball. I thought you just knew that that was happening, like, that was
She's that type of player who can stroll around for 80-85 minutes and then in 5 minutes can turn on a player of the match display, whereas, you know, with Bunny Shaw, they're very much targeting her and trying to channel everything through her. She's the complete and utter target woman. So different styles of players, but both have provided amazing moments for their teams during the season.
Definitely. So a deserving winner, agreed by all, in Bunny Shaw. Okay, now we are going to move on to our moment of the season. So we had the perfect ending for Emma Hayes and Fran Kirby scoring and Chelsea winning the league in what seemed like something that was totally impossible a couple of weeks beforehand. And then Rachel Williams scoring in the FA Cup final, which is a nice nod to her, Karen, after us so rudely not giving her said nod earlier.
Yeah, I'm hard to pick one, I think, because I was so wanting City to win the league this year. But I suppose it was Chelsea winning the league and just the manner in which they capitalized on it. And, like, you can't deny what Hayes has done for football in the country. And I loved all those quotes about her having the biggest budget and how she fought for it and all that kind of represented. So as a women's football fan, it is the Hayes moment, and her getting that sail off into the sunset with a final trophy after what had been kind of like a draining season and stuff like that. And they'd have their ups and downs, but for them to still grind it out, probably for her really in the end. Yeah, I suppose that's the big one. Winning the league, best team always wins the league. And she's been the best manager over the course of a decade or so now. So that's probably the moment, yeah.
Yeah, I think when I was looking at these, I don't know if it's because Emma Hayes went so weird towards the end. And
yeah,
still
that's it. I'm begrudging because of the poetry. So.
Yeah, and I was like, I'll happily give this to Fran Kirby. And I'm very glad that she got her moment. So that's the way I'm rationalizing it in my head. Jamie, what was the moment of the season for you?
Yeah, I think it would be Emma Hayes winning the league. I think she's done so much for women's football. And I'm kind of a bit of a softy for a happy ending. So I think I would give it to her, yeah.
Your answer is a lot more wholesome than both me and Karen. So that's good.
I'm like, I don't want to give it to her, but I will.
We're like the mean girls in here. They're like, no, she actually really deserves it.
Yeah.
Emma, what about you?
It's the same, but it's for Fran Kirby scoring the goal as well.
We'll just take Emma Hayes out of it completely. Fran Kirby.
Before the poetry, we're all massive Emma Hayes fans, and we're very sad to see her leave the league.
We're
so
very fit. like
just a note to anyone, if they're ever trying to impress us,
don't repose. All week I was like, Fran Kirby's going to come on, she's going to score the winning goal. Like, they were like too many goals ahead at that stage anyway, but it was still nice to get her moment and write down the Chelsea end as well with the fans. Meadamas at the same time, it was all very emotional, you know.
Meadamas is a bit more tinged with a bit of
sourness,
though, because no one really knows if she that's what she wanted, if she wanted to stay. I know the fans weren't happy about it, whereas Kirby had given her all for Chelsea over such a long period of time and been through so much with them that that felt a lot more wholesome than the Miedema goodbye.
Yeah, I think that's what it is as well. I think that wins. And it definitely was. It felt like a moment when Kirby scored the goal. So,
yeah, Miedema's goal felt like a bit of a middle finger to Ada Molinar's. Yeah. I won't lie. To put it in semi-polite terms.
It's almost like Corinne Bett probably spoke about it before. It's like, you're going to pass me the ball. First touch. That's what's going to happen, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because they went on that little like retreat into a cabin in the woods together. So I'm pretty sure they just had like a war room in that cabin. And that's what they spent the entire weekend doing, plotting their revenge. Okay, we will give that to Kirby then and kind of in my hands. Just because Jamie's a nice person. Okay, next we're going to do our Quig Gig Irish Player of the Season. And I mean, I think like we have Courtney Brosnan, Katie McCabe, very obvious. I do think Heather Payne deserves a shout out too. First season in a professional league, you wouldn't know it at all. And I think that's something that we would have said about her quite often, even in an Irish setup. You know, she has become such a regular, such a mainstay when we saw her name wasn't on the team sheet or the squad sheet for this international break. It was a big like, oh no, that's not good moment. And she's still so young.
As yeah, I said, so first often.
Professional season.
Yeah, so often we've seen girls go over and maybe be loaned out for a while just to get into game time. She hit the ground running, was, you know, a regular on the team sheet. Like, that's an achievement in itself without everything that she added to Everton's season as well this year. And obviously, we have known that for a while, but now even more so, her loss feels quite pertinent for this squad. And it's definitely an area that probably the opposition can look at now and say, okay, they're not at their strongest at that side. Maybe we can exploit it a little bit. So she's definitely worth a mention for our Irish Player of the Season, but I think we'll all be in agreement on this one. Is Courtney Brosnan standout?
Courtney Brosnan! I'm just practicing my second voice for Friday.
Yeah,
I think she's been standout for club and country, and of course that is always going to slightly tinge her view. And as you were saying, Emma, she may not have won the Golden Glove, but when you look at what she actually did, she potentially had a better season than Keating. And I mean, Jamie, you've talked about working with her and how diligent she is, and again, just the perfectly lovely person off the pitch, and then on the pitch knows exactly what she wants you to do, and she'll make you know about it too.
Yeah, no, I think definitely she's my winner as well. But like, as you're mentioning about Heather, I think she deserves a mention as well. Like, she's been brilliant in country, and then obviously going over to the WSL. Like, as you said, it's a difficult league to one, get a contract in, and then two, to be in the squad, and then to play and consistently play is tough. So yeah, she deserves a mention as well.
Yeah, fair play to all of them. And Heather won't be able to do much about it, but we hope Courtney and Katie bring their similar levels of skill to the games at the week, which I'm sure they will. Okay, we're going to end with goal of the season. There are so many options for this that I'm not going to bother reading them all out, because I literally spent like an hour just going through various different goals, and it depends on what sort of criteria you want to put on this. I'm going to give it to Lauren James' goal versus Brighton in January. I just think the little flick, the kind of flick from behind, the skill of it was just so impressive. And like, you could have given it to a lot, but it was just audacious in how she finished it, and was total Lauren James, what we expect from her for the future. So that is where my vote is going. I open the floor to whoever wants to jump in next.
Yeah, I was between two for different reasons. Chloe Lacasse, because she broke my heart, obviously, Arsenal against United. But United should have gotten closer to her, but it was an unbelievable strike. But for me, it was Bunny Shaw against Liverpool, just the little bouncing ball, flicked it past the defender, and the ball nearly burst the net. Like, I just thought, I was like, no one else really in the league, I don't think, could have done that. We'll see if Ramirez has that in her locker. She's been scoring more inside the box. But for me, I was just like, that's why she's the best striker in the league this year.
That's fair. Jamie, what are you thinking?
Yeah, similar, same as Karen. Bunny Shaw's goal. I mean, yeah, to hit it with that so much power and strike. Yeah, like as I said, I don't think many other players could do that. But mine was also, I kind of looked at Sissoko's finish as well for Arsenal, just because of the magnitude of that game as well. Like, I think West Ham only won 3 games this season, was it? And obviously that was one of them. They were in that relegation battle. So, excuse me, I think that was up there, but I gave it to Bunny Shaw.
Also because Sissoko is just great crack. She's given us some good times on this podcast. She's absolutely bonkers. She could do anything. So
I'm actually kind of surprised she didn't make one of our moments of the season. There must have been something in there.
She does.
Emma?
Yeah, I really enjoyed Sissoko's goal as well.
Great finish as well.
It's unbelievable, like your centre back, and it's a great goal. Obviously Liverpool fan, so Taylor Hines doing it twice against City, very similar goals, chips, lovely finishes. But yeah, it's probably going to be Bunny Shaw's as well. One that I think we forgot about as well, and just literally came to me, was Mary Fowler a couple of weeks ago. In the match where she scored 2 goals, and was the finish where she just flicked it around at the outside of her foot, almost sliding at the same time. That was a really nice finish.
This is the thing about Bunny Shaw. Goal of the season, like, unless you're keeping track of them as you go, I knew I was going to miss like some absolutely massive ones when I was looking through it trying to find it.
But while we have a couple of professionals on the line as well, we should really ask, does a penalty kick make a great goal if the team play leading up to it is really good? Because we keep having this conversation in the office and we're like, it's a penalty, it's not a great goal.
As certain Mr. Colin Buig, who works on Off the Ball Breakfast, like, left out some of the goals from Arsenal Bayern to put in a penalty as some of the best goals over those 2 games when there was loads of brilliant goals, because the build-up play, as Emma said, was good. And he has yet to find an ally in it. So I'd be very interested to get both your thoughts.
He's not going to find one in me. As someone who has missed important penalties, I still think that, like, that's embarrassing. You should always score a penalty. It's a 12-yard pass. And if you're a professional footballer, you should score a penalty. And if the build-up play was good, well done. It could have been better. You could have scored without getting fouled. So, no. Not getting an ally here.
Me. Absolutely not. No.
You have a similar... You should be scoring a penalty, therefore. It's not...
I mean, it should be. Some people don't. But...
Get me wrong, I respect the people who do it, again, as someone who has missed them, but no.
That's fair. I'm glad to know that we are on the right side of history with this one, as I expected we would be. And with that comes to an end of our Koi Gig WSL Awards season. Congratulations to all our winners. Your trophies and checks will be in the post. I'm sure I'll make a massive dent in your lives. No joking. This is all the only thing you get out of this is credit and gratitude for entertaining us for the year. So should one of these people end up listening to our podcast, I'm sure Buddy Shaw is a big fan. Well done. Thank you for everything. Emma, Karen, Jamie, thank you for going on this wonderful journey with me. It's been a brilliant season and it's been great to sit down and chat with you all, and same to any of our other contributors as well who jumped on at various stages over the year whenever Karen and I decided that we needed a break of a weekend. As I said before, we will be back with more chat around the internationals. We have the Sweden game and then the England game and also the France game coming up. So you definitely haven't heard the last of us just quite yet. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so at the Koi Gig Pod on Twitter/X. We're always on there and we like to reply to your thoughts and feelings. So if you think we've missed something absolutely ridiculous in our awards, please do let us know and we will feel terrible and, I don't know, send a bar of chocolate to apologise. No, that's a joke. We don't have any chocolate. on that, the Koi Gig Pod is sponsored by Cadbury, official stack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you, hopefully not feeling too depressed, after the Sweden games.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland Women's National Team.